morning service. And we ask you, Father, that you would take a hot coal of fire and that you would place it upon my lips. For, Father, I am dependent upon you. I ask you that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would receive the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As I was praying for this service, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to stress the importance of having fresh oil in your lamps and making yourself available to the Lord in the night season. And so we're going to talk about God's visitation in the night season. I believe that this message could change your life. I believe this message is not a message that was born in my head somewhere. I believe it comes from the Lord. It's Father's heart. And I pray by the time that we reach the end of this message, that the Lord would quicken something to you. That He would cause your heart to burn like fire for the things of the Lord, especially for meeting with the Lord in the night. Several years ago, it was 2007, I got up in the middle of the night and I began to seek the Lord. As I sought the Lord brought me into a vision. It was a very powerful vision. I seen these things take place within my spirit. Now for some of you, you may be like, oh, I don't know about visions and all of these things, but the Lord truly does give visions for those that hunger and thirst. I'm not so spiritual that I have visions. I said this last night all of the time. But the ones that the Lord has given me, I'm going to share two of them with you today. They have meant something to me. They have changed me. And I have literally preached and wrote about this vision all over the world. I've opened my mouth and I've shared what the Lord shared with me. So I'm sitting on a couch, and the Lord brings me into a very powerful vision. A strong presence of the Lord came. And within my vision, I saw myself sleeping in my bed. And Jesus walks in the room. He walks up to my bed, and He gently touches me, and He says, "Come away with me, my love." I wasn't surprised in my vision. I opened my eyes and I followed the Lord. And we walked into my living room. And instantly, as I walked into my living room, the scene changed. And I entered a large dining room. There was a long table. I mean, it was long. It was very long, very far. It just went on and on and on and on. And there was only a few, just a few people that sat at this table. And I took my place at the table. And Jesus walked up to the table and He said, "Only my choicest servants get up in the night." I realized that many were called, but very few chose to listen to the invitation that was sent out. And so I sat there, but I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed because I knew that the Lord had come for me many times. And I chose the comfort of my bed instead of getting up and spending time with Him. And the Lord knew that my heart was very heavy. And so I stood up and I walked over to Him. And I fell on my knees before Him. And I began to weep because I realized that Jesus was not a painting on a wall. He was not a mystical figure that you read about in a book. This was Jesus, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. He was a person. And He had bidden me to come many times. And I had rejected His invitation. And the Lord picks me up. And He looks into my eyes. And He says, "Steve," He calls me by name. He said, "Steve, I don't even remember that anymore." He didn't hold it against me because I had already asked him to forgive me. I didn't have to carry that shame. So I went back to my seat and I sat there and I looked at just a few people that were at the table. There were these huge domes of food in front of us with the big coverings over them. And one by one, the domes were lifted. And I noticed that every person at the table had huge mountains of food. But when the dome was lifted from my plate, there was only just a little bit of food. And I wondered to myself, why is there so much food on everyone else's plate, but such little food on mine? And the Lord knew what I was asking, and he said, as you are faithful to get up in the night, I will feed you with spiritual manna. I will feed you with the deeper things of God. Be faithful. And then instantly, the scene changed and repeated itself. I was laying in my bed. Jesus walks into my room and announces his presence. He walks up to me, gently touching me, and he says, come away with me, my love. I follow him. Becomes a huge dining table once again, and I take my seat with just a few others. The domes are lifted, and there's a little bit more food. And this scene keeps repeating itself over and over again. Till eventually I had much more food. When I came out of the vision, the manifest presence of God lingered in the room. And he placed and imparted within me a deep desire to meet with my Lord in the night. For I had heard stories by Walter Butler and Wade Taylor of men that got up with the Lord in the night. And I realized that if I would get up with the Lord in the night, that I could have an audience with the King. That there is a college that meets in the night. It's called the King's College. And he would train me, and he would feed me, and he would impart things to me, and I could share these impartations with others if I would be faithful to get up. I remember hearing a story that it so stirred my heart of Walter Butler one night gets up with the Lord, and he sits there and he begins to wait on him. And the Lord speaks to him and says, Walter, I didn't call you to pray tonight. Why are you praying? And he says, Jesus, I just wanted to keep you company. And he said, as he said that, he sensed Jesus standing over him. And he felt the manifestation of the tears of Jesus fall upon his head. Because Jesus found someone that appreciated him enough to get up in the night. Did you know that the Lord loves to be appreciated and he desires to be wanted? He wants you to walk past an intellectual dead religion into a living relationship with the Lord that's so sacred, that's so holy, that's so full of him that you'll never want a cheap substitute again. You can have a romance with the Lord that will keep your heart on fire all of your days. He will become special, kind of like a couple that sneaks away for a weekend in Montauk. They have secrets, they enjoy each other, they see things together. They stand in the ocean and breathe the air. You can have that with Jesus. You can wake up in the morning and you could say, it's just me and you, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to know that although there's 7 billion people on the planet, you have Jesus all to yourself? I have Jesus all to myself. You have Jesus all to yourself. It's just you and Jesus. In all purity, No deadness, no religion, just you and Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If, that speaks of an opportunity. It speaks of you being obedient. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. For the Lord desires a divine relationship with you, and he comes to the door and he knocks. Can you hear him knocking? I can hear him knocking this morning very softly. He's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, if you'll open the door, I'll open the door to my manifest presence to you. And I'll come in and I'll sup with you. And I'll commune with you. And I'll touch your heart in ways that no other human being ever could. If any man, if they're obedient, this is not just for the super spiritual, for the mystics, for those that have had divine encounters, it's for you today. He's knocking on the door of your heart asking, can I come in? In Song of Solomon chapter 5, this would take me 2 hours to go through everything. I mean, there's so much here, and I'm just going to highlight a couple things to you. In Song of Solomon chapter 5, this is a whole teaching in itself, but I just want to highlight just a thought, and then we're going to get into God's visits in the night and what to do when the Lord wakes you up. Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 1, I've come into my garden, my sister, my spouse, I have gathered my myrrh with spice, I have eaten my honeycomb with honey, I have drunk my wine with my milk, O friends, drink, yes, drink abundantly, O beloved, I sleep, but my heart is awake. It's the voice of my beloved that knocks, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with the dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Here we see the heavenly bridegroom coming. There's dew on his hair, and he's knocking because he's desiring visitation with the one that his soul loves. And so he goes to the door and he gently knocks. Now, let me ask you a question. Why was there dew on his head? The answer to that question is because this was not the first door that the heavenly bridegroom had knocked on that night. He had gone to many other doors, but people chose not to open the door. So his head had dew. There's something on the inside of me that says, Lord, I don't want to be one of those people that caused the dew to be collected upon your hair. I want to be obedient. I want to allow my past disobedience to propel me forward, that when you gently come and knock on the door of my heart, I answer the door, that I may encounter you and your presence. And so we see in chapter 5 here, he comes and he knocks, and she offers several excuses why she can't. I can't get up. I've already washed my feet. I've already gotten into bed. Have you ever had that cozy place in bed? It's all warm and cozy. Holy Spirit comes and knocks and says, get up. Well, this can't be the Lord. Oh, devil, I rebuke you for trying to steal my sleep. And we miss the point altogether. I've done that, and I've done that, and I've written the book on that. But oh, how the Lord desires for us to open the door. Oh, how He desires that we would have visitation with the sweet Master, that His eyes that blaze like fire would look in our direction. We would open the door and commune with him. And so she doesn't do that. And when she realizes that he had gone, she begins to search throughout the city. And I don't have time to get into all the details of chapter 5, but I will say this. When she desperately began to search for her beloved, something was created on the inside of her, a longing and a desire to be obedient. I am not condemning anyone who has not been obedient. I told you a number of times already, I have been disobedient in this area before. So don't take it in that way. Allow that to propel you forward. The times that you were disobedient, let it propel you forward, that the next time the Lord comes and whispers your name and asks you to come away with them, that you would remember the times that you were disobedient. You would say, not this time. I'm getting up. I can remember spending nights after night with the Lord, and the Lord beginning to minister with His manifest presence would come. I'd have my Bible on my lap, underlining and circling things. And to this day, I am preaching those things many different places that the Lord taught me in the night. Going to His table, feasting on His presence. Be obedient to meet with the Lord in the night. Psalms chapter 17, verse 3. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures quickly. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. There is a such thing as the Lord's visits in the night. It says it right here. Thou hast visited me in the night. Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou shalt visit him. Does that blow you away? That the King of all glory would desire to come and visit you? That he would care enough to come and knock on the door? That you may sup with him and he with you? The call, the yearning of the Father to spend time with his bride? That thou shall visit him? Wow! Who am I, Lord, that you would want to come and visit me? Yet he does. Yet he desires it with all of his heart. In Psalms chapter 119, verses 105, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. My prayer is that that this message on the visits of the Lord in the night would be a light into your path, that you would know what to do. I've come across several people that says, well, what do I do when the Lord wakes me up? I'm going to give you four things that the Lord desires for you to do when He wakes you up, that this would be a light into your path. Number one, what am I supposed to do when He comes for a visit? Number one, review His great works. When the Lord wakes you up, you review His great works. Psalms 63, verses 6 and 7. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So we meditate on the Lord. We review His great works. We remember the things that He did for us. Lord, you came through at the promise last night. Your presence was there on both of the bands. Your presence was there on the speaking. Father, I thank you for the lives that were changed. You're reviewing and thanking the Lord for what He has done in your life. Oh, how the Lord loves when we review His great works. Isn't it nice when people say thank you? Well, the Lord loves it when we thank Him as well. When we take the time to thank Him and review His great work. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but puts his delight in the law of the Lord and does meditate day and night. You meditate on the Word of God. You can open up a scripture and begin to read it, and the Lord will quicken that scripture verse to you. It will come alive. I call that the kiss of His presence. He will kiss you with His presence. He'll cause the scripture to come forth from the pages. It will be a living revelation, something that will burn in your heart that you will carry with you forever. Amen. Amen. We contemplate on the Lord. We meditate on Him. We practice the presence of the Lord. We practice the presence of the Lord. We ponder his greatness. Amen. Number two, the night is for instruction. The night is for instruction. Many times when I'm out on the road, I'm not one of these people that usually plan all of my messages in advance. Sometimes the Lord won't give me a message till I'm actually there. I'm always prepared. But the Lord has a way of wanting me, at least the way that I operate, I want to deliver the word of the Lord. I don't want some intellectual information that I grabbed off somewhere. I want the word of the Lord for that people. And so the Lord will often wake me up in the night and he'll instruct me on what I'm going to face in that conference, what I'm to do. I thank you, Jesus. Psalms chapter 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. In the night season. I like another translation even better. It says, I will bless the Lord who guides me every night. My heart instructs me. Every night my heart instructs me. The Lord will instruct your heart. He'll teach you what to say. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, Thou hast given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. I wrote a full book on this, and it actually is called The Tongue of the Learned. It's being released this Thursday. I was hoping to have it for this conference, but you know, there was things that happened and delays and things, but this Thursday it's going to be released, and it's on this very scripture verse that the Lord desires to give us the tongue of the learned. He desires to teach our tongues what to say, that we would be able to sustain with a word. And the way that we sustain somebody with a word is morning by morning, he teaches us what to say. When you get up in the night, he will teach you what to say. You may need the word of the Lord. It may not be from a pulpit. Maybe it's a situation that you're facing, a confrontation that you have, or an uncomfortable family situation that you may be in, something or a correction that you have to give. And you need the Lord to speak through you so that you don't flub it up. And so the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and he instructs your mouth on what to say. He gives you the tongue of the learned, that you would be able to sustain with a word. Amen. In the middle of the night, he will wake you up that you may be able to sustain someone with a word. You want to know how to flow in the prophetic anointing? You get up morning by morning and you listen. There's a lot of teachings on how to function in the prophetic. Some are good. Some are gimmicks. Let me teach you how to flow in the prophetic. You get up with the Lord. You sit and lay at Father's feet, and you only say what Father wants you to say. I'm not going to look at somebody's name tag on their clothes that says a certain brand name and then make up a word for somebody. Pull out a coin out of your pocket and then prophesy off of that coin. You don't need that stuff. You lay at Father's feet and you open your ears to hear, and he will teach your tongue what to say. And you'll flow out of Father's heart with a prophetic anointing. Number three, he will give you, this is one of my favorites, he will give you songs in the night. He will give you songs in the night. Job chapter 35, verse 10. Says, but none saith, where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night. You will wake up in the middle of the night, and the Lord will give you a song. Sometimes it's songs of worship, where you'll just lift up your voice to the Lord and begin to worship him. Sometimes the Lord will instruct you in your life through a song. Sometimes I'm walking through my day or whatever, and a song comes to me. and I start singing this song, and I didn't even realize it at the moment till a little bit later that that's the Lord giving me a prophetic word. That song is prophetic. He has given me instruction. He's teaching me what He wants me to do. So sometimes in the middle of the night, He will wake you up in order to give you a song. And sometimes it's a song of worship. And other times it's a song that He gives you in order to instruct you. Sometimes it's a prophetic song where you'll begin to sing prophetically unto the Lord. You'll give declarations. My family's going to be saved. My son and daughter's going to come back to Jesus. And you'll begin to just sing those decrees. There, it is powerful. I remember once I was in a tent crusade and we were preaching. We were there all summer. It was only supposed to be one meeting and it was extended. Visitation happened. We were there all summer. And one particular message, literally the entire message was prophetic singing and songs. And I don't consider myself a singer or a musician. You know, I'm not super talented in that. I can carry a tune. But the Lord used it. You know, He used a horse. He can use me to sing. And I just sang out these decrees and declarations. And I mean, it went on for 45 minutes. I could have never done that with natural talent. It was the Lord. And it was all out of revelation about holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I had a very anointed keyboardist that was playing behind me. And as soon as I began to sing it, he could instantly turn it into a song. And we would just be just pushing it forward. And I tell you what, it was so powerful. It was so the Lord. And the Lord will do that with us at times. He'll give us prophetic songs where we'll sing in the night. Sometimes before a meeting, what I'll do is I'll sing prophetically over that meeting. Lord, restoration's going to happen. Your manifest presence is going to come. Father, any hard heart, let it be melted in the presence of the Lord. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. Just singing prophetic songs. Sometimes we sing songs of David. We open the book of Psalms and just begin to sing it out. Oh, don't underestimate singing songs of David before the Lord. Sometimes it's songs of deliverance. Psalms 32:7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt encompass me with songs of deliverance. He will give you songs of deliverance in the midnight hour. You have a situation that you're facing. You need God's deliverance. You need Him to rescue you. You need Him to show up and show off. And He will give you songs of deliverance in the midnight hour. You know, getting up with the Lord in the night is not sitting there twiddling your thumbs and yawning. It can be the most powerful experience of your life. It will change your devotional life if you'll do it. I don't know why it is, but it seems like the Lord comes calling around the 3 o'clock hour. 3 a.m. Many times He'll wake you up 3 o'clock on the dot. Now, I'm going to set somebody free through a word today. You want to know what the word is? Some of you have gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you've said, I don't know if this is the Lord. You yourself will not wake yourself up at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering if you should pray. It's the Lord. Get up and pray. And if by chance you missed it, tell the Lord that you wanted to keep Him company and you just may feel some teardrops that night. Amen? Get up. Pray. Oh, Jesus. There's a sweet presence in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Get up in the middle of the night and make a sweet melody unto the Lord. Oh, but I croak like a chicken, you say. I can't sing to save my soul. People pay me to stop. The Lord doesn't care. He doesn't care about the quality of your voice. He cares about the quality of your heart. And if you go off track a little bit with your singing, don't let it. I can remember my daughters when they were small. I had the cutest little girl. They're still cute. They're beautiful girls. If you go to my Facebook, you'll be able to see their pictures. But they're beautiful girls. But when they were young, they had this curly brown hair. And they'd wear these little, you know, ballerina-type dresses and stuff. And sometimes they would sit there when nobody was watching, and they would just sing worship songs that they learned in church. Oh, it touched my heart. I could identify with John what he was talking about, being a proud dad. It just touched my heart to see my little girls just belting out. You must be so proud of your daughter, Hannah, even now, the way that she sings. Hannah, the Lord has placed an anointing upon you. A presencing of the Lord is upon your singing. And when you sing to him, he notices. He turns his head. Your worship before the Lord with your purity of your heart is special and precious to the Lord. You carry an anointing, and the Lord says, I'm going to increase that anointing upon you. And even some of the paths that you think that you have chosen for yourself, the Lord says, just wait, because I may rearrange and change some things. And I don't know what that means, and I'm not saying it's necessarily huge things, but I'm just saying the Lord may cause to change your paths a little bit, because there is a calling on your life. You have an anointing to sing, and the Lord doesn't just place that anointing on just anyone. And again, I sense this word again. I gave this to someone last night, but I sense it for you as well. When you sing, people are going to be set free. Amen. And the area of being set free is I see religious people being in services where it's more of an intellectual relationship with God. And they're going to see the purity of you standing behind the mic and just lifting up Jesus. And as you do that, it's going to break some chains off of them. Chains are going to break. The Lord says, I'm going to break the religious chains that hold people back, because I'm going to show you off as an example of a daughter of Zion, as a handmaiden of the Lord that sings a beautiful song unto me. Now, when you sing before an audience of one. You're not paying attention to people's reactions. And the Lord loves that, because he can trust you with more anointing, because you're not going to take the glory unto yourself. You're not going to go down that road of Hollywood and look at me, because there's a million singers like that, million of them. But you have a purity of heart, and so does your dad, a purity of heart, that when you begin to sing, you're not focusing on anyone but the throne room of God. And the Lord says, I'm going to begin to show up when you sing in a greater way than you've experienced in the past. And you're going to see the shackles, literally. You're going to open your eyes. You're going to see religious people that are tied to dead religion. You're going to see them begin to the chains begin to fall. The Lord says, you're going to notice people weeping as you sing. You remember that I've told you this. You're going to see weeping as you sing. And the Lord says, when the anointing comes upon you to sing, he wants you to break out. He wants you to break out. In other words, you are going to be able to sing a prophetic declaration in a song. And it's going to go off the track of what has been placed on a piece of paper. And don't be afraid to do that, because the Lord says, as you're faithful to sing those prophetic decrees, the Lord says, people's lives are going to be changed. And I just see this union that you have with your daughter, both of you. I see the Lord using you with religious people. That he's going to call you into some tough places. You're going to sing in some places. I see you going into like coffee shops and different places where there's a strong spirit of either apathy, religion, people that really have no passion for God at all, and some that are not even saved. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring an anointing that doesn't fit the mold of everybody else. And I'm going to bring there's a design for you, is what I'm saying. There's a design the Lord says that he's given you that no one else can do. And as you're faithful to be able to sing in these tough places, the Lord says, I will manifest myself. I will manifest myself in the city. I will manifest myself in the coffee shop. I will manifest myself in the basement. I will manifest myself as you sit on a stool and you sing before me. The manifestation of the glory and the presence. And as people are, their mouths are going to drop open. And you, brother, you have an anointing too. You have a tender heart before the Lord. And the Lord is going to call you in the night. And he's going to give you songs. Songs of worship, songs of deliverance. You're going to get tunes. And as you begin to sing these things out, I sense that the Lord is going to take those songs. You're going to remember many of them. And you're going to, in services like this, you're also going to sing those declarations out. All three of you have a great unity and a presence. And there's already an anointing there. There's already an anointing on you, all of you. But the Lord says, I'm going to increase that anointing. And he's going to give you revelation. He's going to give you revelation in the night. And you're going to write these revelations down. And you're going to share them. You're also going to share from the microphone. Hannah and you are both called to speak things out. Maybe not full 30-minute messages, but the Lord is going to place things on your lips, and you should be obedient to share those things, because there are going to be people that are going to be sitting in the seats that need to hear what you have to say. All of you function as a team. And brother, God's going to bless your humility, because you don't feel like you need to be the center of attention. There's many people that have the talent and the ability that you do would never allow their co-singers to sing a song and function like you do. Because it's about, it's about the Lord getting the glory. It's not about anything else. And since the Lord sees your heart, he's going to pour out even more presence and glory. So I just see a tag team going on. I see a new format coming. And I just see prophetic decrees and declarations and prophetic songs going out. But I also see testimonies, things that you feel in your spirit. The couple times that you shared, John, it was very powerful. And I just want to encourage you in that, to continue to do that. Because the Lord is not only going to use you in singing, the Lord is going to use you with sharing from deep in your heart. And the thing that the Lord teaches you, how do I phrase this, Lord? Give it to me. In your devotional time, as you get alone with the Lord will share revelation and deeper things with you. Write those things down, because those things are going to come back to you when you're in concerts and things. You'll be able to share these things. And sometimes you'll have to be very careful about how you share different things because of the crowds that you're going to be in. But the Lord's going to give you the wisdom of Solomon and how to speak a word in season. The format may change. The Christianese may leave. You may prophesy over people in the form of encouraging people instead of saying, thus saith the Lord thy God. But the power is still going to be there. The power is going to be there. So, Father, we thank you, Father, for this band in Jesus' name. I just continue to pray that you bless them, Father. Open up doors for them, Lord. I pray that over this weekend that something special would be deposited on the inside of them, that they would carry the rest of their ministries. I thank you for their worship, but I also thank you for their ministry that you've called them to. Bless them with a heavy manifest presence in the name of Jesus. Songs in the night. Lastly, as we let our desire go toward him, we allow our desire to go toward him. This is my favorite one. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. You let your heart go after God. You sit there and you're content just to be with him. You know, some of the sweetest moments I've had with my better half, my beautiful Diane, is when we're sitting by the water somewhere and I don't say anything. She doesn't say anything. We just enjoy each other's company. Amen? Sit there and enjoy the Lord's company. Let your heart go before him. Lay at his feet. Just love on Jesus. Let your heart go after him with expectation of response from the Lord at some time. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord told me to end with this experience. I know when I share experiences, I always preface it because some struggle, but I stand before the Lord with absolute integrity about what I'm going to share with you. This experience that happened to me was not a vision. This literally happened. I was fasting for a number of days, asking the Lord for more. And the Lord was waking me up in the night, and I was seeking after him. Halfway through my fast, first night, the enemy came in my room, and he paralyzed me to my bed. I could not move, and I yelled out, "Jesus," and instantly he had to leave. Amen. The second night, he brought it up a notch. Literally, with my physical eyes, a demon spirit came right at me and screamed in my face. I seen it with my physical eyes. Scream at my face in the dark. And I rebuked it, and I commanded it to leave, and it instantly left. That's the great thing about the power of God. And that told me that I was actually gaining ground in the spirit, or the enemy wouldn't come and try to do things, mess with me in the night. The following night changed my life. I was sleeping, and instantly the Lord walked in my room physically. I could not open my eyes because the glory of the Lord was so strong. As the Lord entered the room, wind began to blow, much like the experience I shared last night. And I heard bells ringing as he took one step after the other, walking toward me. Jesus walked right up to me. Again, I couldn't move my body. The presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord was so strong I couldn't open my eyes. I was fully awake. I knew what was going on, but I could not open my eyes. I could not move, but I could hear and I could sense. I felt the wind. I heard the bells ringing, and I heard the footsteps of Jesus walk right up to me. He reached down and he grabbed one of my hands. Just one. And he began to just caress my hands. And instantly, my eyes opened. He was gone. And I was like, what just happened here? As soon as I said that, the Lord brought me back. Eyes closed again. Presence of the Lord filled the room. Wind blowing. Bells ringing. Jesus walking step after step right up to me. Stood right in front of me. Reached down and held both of my hands. Jesus held my hands. Jesus held my hands and caressed them. And he stood there for a couple minutes just caressing my hands. I felt absolute love and presence like I've never experienced before, knowing that Jesus was right in front of me, holding my hands. And then instantly, he was gone. My eyes then was able to open, and the Spirit of God lingered in that room. And I wondered, Lord, what does this mean? The bells were symbolic of him being my high priest. The wind was symbolic of the moving of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord that surrounded him as he announced his presence. And as he held my hands, he was preparing me for a great trial that I was going to face, but he was also imparting something to me. Wade Taylor was my spiritual dad for over 20-something years, ever since Pinecrest up to his passing. Back when I was 19 years old, and he did this all the way up to almost when he passed away, he would take my hands and he would pray impartation into my life. And he always held my hands and he would move his thumbs just a little bit as he would pray. And the Lord said, I came to you to impart to you. And I've come to comfort you and to prepare you. He came in the night. For the Lord desires to bring visitation to his people in the night. Will you open the door? Will you bid him come? Will you sit with him a while? Will you keep him company? Will you sing songs to him? Songs of worship. Songs of David. Songs of deliverance. Songs of adoration. For he will deposit and he will impart spiritual manna to you that will not only change your life, but the lives of those that you come in contact with. For he is the night visitor. He is the one who comes at inconvenient times. But precious ones, he is worth opening the door. He will change your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word about keeping oil in our lamps. Oil in our lamps. Being faithful to answer the knocks. Being obedient to open the door that your head would never collect the dew of the night. Because we appreciate you. Because we desire you. Because we want you. Father, we say to you, even now, we want you. We desire you. We love you. We need you. We don't want a religious routine that's absent from the presence and the power of God. We don't want an intellectual pursuit of you. We want to know you like a close, intimate friend. Father, we desire you. We're desirous of you, Father. And we give the totality of our beings over to you, being obedient to answer the call to come. For you're calling out to your bride, come away with me, my love. For I have great and mighty things to show you. I have words to speak to you. Richness to impart to you. An inner wealth, a deposit, an impartation of my spirit. That you would be carriers of my glory into the dark places. For my bride will radiate the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord will arise upon her with the sweet aroma of my presence. And lives will fall under conviction. Knees will fall to the ground. And people will shake under the glory of the Lord. For the Lord is calling His bride to be carriers of this presence. Invading the atmosphere with the glory of the Lord. So, Father, we say yes. We will be carriers of your glory. In Jesus' precious name. Father, in the name of Jesus, for this man that organized this event, I pray for a presence, even now, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, that you would bless him, Father, for his obedience to have this event. In the name of Jesus, you're calling him deeper. You're calling him deeper, deeper. You're bidding him into new territory. Area that he has seen. I see him on an overlook looking, gazing into area, under mountains, wondering, can I climb those mountains? Can I go to that place? And the Lord says, I've called you to that place. And so he's moving and he's cutting and he's molding and he's shaking. That you would not only gaze from an overlook, but that you would be in that mountain, live in that mountain, stay in that mountain, stability. Yes. Not being tossed, but stable. I see him putting down his foot, saying, not today, but just moving. So, Father, I thank you for this brother's testimony of supernatural experiences, moving him. And I pray, Father, for another phase of that.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
He's been at a spiritual level for a long time, and now you're calling him deeper. He's been standing on a cliff looking into the distance, wondering if he can go there. And supernaturally, starting today, you are moving him in that direction. You're calling him deeper. Deeper. Experiencing greater amounts of love of the Father and carrying that love to places that desperately need an outpouring of that. Touch him, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless this pastor and his beautiful wife, Father. Bless them, Father. For all the gentleness of the Spirit that you've placed upon them, the love of the Father that radiates from the wisdom. And I thank you, Father, that they are a mother and father of the faith, and surely you will bring many to them. I see many people hungering for spiritual fathers and mothers coming to you. You will have more people. I got to be careful how I say this. You will have more people outside of this church that will come to you than even that are sitting in the seats. For the opportunities that the Lord has given you is going to bring you not only here where you'll love the people here with your whole hearts, but the Lord's going to open up new doors. And within these new doors, it's going to give you more influence And there's going to be great amounts of love that is going to come forth from your lips in wisdom. For many of the things that you have faced in the past, many of the things that you have seen, were that you may have the wisdom to be able to teach others. For many will call you on the phone and say, I'm facing this, I don't understand it. And instantly you'll be able to remember trials and situations that you faced, how you guided yourself with the help of the Lord through these things. And you'll be of great help and assistance to them. You are a mother and a father of the faith. And Father, I pray for even a deeper touch of the presence to rest upon them. That same presencing of the Lord that has been deposited into this precious couple from Wade Taylor, Father, I stir it up in Jesus' name and ask you, Lord, that you would take them yet even deeper. For many of the spiritual children of Wade are carrying that to the ends of the world, and these two are called to do the same. And Lord, I pray that this church would be a special resting place of the very presence of the Lord. Resting place of the glory. That the very manifest presence of the Lord would rest here. For you're not only knocking on the door of our hearts, but you're knocking on churches all over the world asking, can I come in? Will you move aside your agenda that the King of all glory can come in? Will you welcome me corporately into your midst? My wife and I, we've started a few gatherings throughout the 20-something years that we've been together in ministry. And we set out a chair. We called it the Jesus chair. And we said, Jesus, you are our honored guest. And we weren't flaky about it, but it was symbolic. I mean, I didn't go bow down to the chair or anything like that. But it was a symbolic gesture, meaning that Jesus was my honored guest. That he was there. And people were reminded of the fact, when they saw that chair, that it was all about Jesus and what he wanted to do. I'd rather go with the flow of the Spirit any day over my own agenda. And I believe that this is a church, a special place, that the Lord desires to rest here in his presence and change lives. Amen. I'm not going to keep you here all day, but I will pray for anyone that needs prayer. Can't promise you a word. The Lord turns it on and turns it off. I can only give words as the Lord gives them to me. But I will pray.
Before we pray for Steve, before Steve prays for any of us, you appreciate him?
Yeah.
And I also appreciate his wife. She's sitting back there and she's been so quiet. But anybody that's in ministry knows that you cannot do this without the support of your spouse, whether it's a woman or man. And I appreciate you so much, Diane.